Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everybody. This is Coach Chat Radio. I'm Laurie Lawson, and my fantastic co-host is the amazing...
Yeah, I'm blushing, Laurie. Thank you. Bernie Siegel here calling in from the Catskill Mountains, where it's supposed to snow again today.
Yeah, I think we've got that coming up in New York City, but not certainly not as much as you. And our guest is in Atlanta. I'll bet he doesn't get any snow, but we'll see. We'll see. Let me tell you a little bit about Coach Chat. We developed Coach Chat because we believe that if you change your perspective, you can change your life. This is for coaches who are interested in one of the fastest-growing professions in the world today, or people who just want to find out more about coaching. We hook you up with some of the world's leading coaches who share their expertise and give you tips and takeaways for expanding and improving your life and your business. And we have Nicholas Harvey with us today. Welcome, Nicholas.
Greetings, Bernie. Greetings, Laurie. Thank you so much.
Let me tell you a little bit about this gentleman, and you will be as impressed as we are. Nicholas Harvey is a social impact coach and an inclusion instigator. Do you love those titles or what? Who uses his nonprofit and public policy expertise to help social purpose leaders to achieve their missions for positive change and justice. Nicholas is the principal and CEO, make that chief empowerment officer, of Nicholas Harvey Consulting and executive coaching and management consulting practice devoted to co-creating empowered individuals and organizations for societal impact and a more just world. He's the developer of Inclusionetics, spelled a little differently, but Inclusionetics, that's it, an operating system for advancing equality, civil rights, racial justice, and equal opportunity. He's also the co-developer of the Cultural Competency in Coaching framework which assists executive leaders, coaches, managers to engage others in culturally appropriate manners. I'm going to stop telling you he does a lot more, but we only have 30 minutes. So welcome, Nicholas. We're so thrilled to have you. And Bernie, you can take it
Thank
away.
You. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Unlike our listeners, I've had the benefit of looking through Nicholas's website and LinkedIn, and I see what a fascinating, interesting background you have. If you could just tell our audience, you know, briefly, a little bit about your journey to where you are and what you're doing today.
Sure, sure. Thank you so much, and greetings to the Coach Chat audience. So I would describe myself as a serial retirer. How's that? And so I've been trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up. How's that? And so I've served as in the United States Air Force. So I'm former military, served as a pastor, formerly taught at the Andrew Young School of Policy Studies at Georgia State University in their nonprofit studies program. Approximately 8 years ago, I learned about the coaching profession and started down that path. And so I am certified with the International Coaching Federation, and I'm also one of the founding members of the ICF Foundation. And so part of my process has really been about how to serve my community and serve the world best. And so if you might note that each of the places where I found myself professionally, it's really about service. And so whether it's serving our country, serving communities of faith, I'm serving students in the midst of their growth, the public policy school, serving nonprofit organizations, corporate social responsibility people, now serving leaders that wish to have social impact beyond the basic understandings of the bottom line. And now particularly as we are looking in this space for equity, civil rights, justice, and opportunity for all, I'm serving.
It certainly sounds like it. Let me ask you something, because you obviously have a message, and it's a timely message, and it's a message that is so needed. Why did you choose coaching as the way to get this information out to people? What appealed to you about coaching?
Yes, I really like the message of coaching from the perspective that we are capable. You know, we are whole. We are resourceful. I liked the sort of moving beyond perhaps the counseling modality, the idea that perhaps we're looking at our past, but a matter of saying, let's go ahead and look to our future. Especially, I think, now that we find ourselves in this diversity, equity, inclusion, belonging, and justice space, that, you know, there's a certain awareness that counseling can provide, but then what? And so I believe that coaching really provides us a key to bring about sustainable change. I'm using the language now called indelible change, and we'll see where that goes. But we've been working in this DEI space for some 40 years, and it seems that we find ourselves back at the same spot of, well, what real progress has been made? And there's a lot of literature out there that says that these efforts really aren't working. And so perhaps we need to think of a different approach from these episodic trainings and workshops, that perhaps a coaching model might be one that is preferred. And so one of the things I like about the International Coaching Federation is that it requires us to be trained. And I think that's so important, that there are a lot of folks that are out there that are dabbling and trying to be coaches. But, you know, this is a professional, and we have professional ethical standards, and I think that that's most important right now.
Mm-hmm. I noticed in your site that you mentioned that you're a transformational catalyst for personal and organizational excellence. And just want to talk to us a little bit about what you mean by that.
Surely. I believe that at its core, when we talk about leadership, that leadership is about change or transformation. And we really struggle with that. You know, I think that leaders want to move not only themselves but also their organizations from one stage to another. And so a catalyst is a spark. You know, and I really believe that folks have the capabilities within them. You know, we can certainly grow their capabilities. But again, people are resourceful. You know, people are whole, and maybe they need just a jump start, or perhaps a different perspective in terms of the work in which they're engaged. And so that's what I'm able to do, and that's what I'm able to bring, so that the desired transformations can come about. We have the opportunity to talk about one's mindset, an idea of looking at some assessments. How do we interrelate with one another? And how does that operate not only in terms of our interpersonal needs, in terms of our personalities, but also in terms of our own cultural growth and development as well, as we're finding ourselves in this intercultural milieu right now. How then do we respond appropriately as leaders? And so I think coaching really helps us to attend to our own growth, so that then we can attend to the growth of our organizations and those with whom we work.
Wow. Well, I want to know, because if I ever need a fancy-dancy title, you're my man. I'm going to have you come up with a title for me, because what is an inclusion instigator, and how do you go about instigating inclusion?
Years ago, when Martin Luther King Jr., prior to being arrested, in Birmingham, Alabama, he was described as an outside agitator. And he was viewed as a troublemaker, right? And of course, we know the story of one of his mentees, which was John Lewis at the time. And John Lewis talked about getting into good trouble. And so we're going to really instigate, you know, this thing called inclusion, because we haven't really spoken of that perhaps the way we should. We think that diversity perhaps is enough, and diversity and inclusion, they are not synonymous. They are not interchangeable. But many want to stop at the diversity place, meaning let's just add numbers. But inclusion really speaks to our being able to show up authentically as who we are and to contribute without fear of negative repercussions. And so we really hope to create more welcoming workplaces and communities so that we can all thrive.
You mentioned working with nonprofits, I'm wondering, a lot of the, I think the issue, this is just me speaking, but a lot of the issues I think that are out there aren't the nonprofits, but they're the profits, for-profit corporations, that the way they act, which is, you know, oftentimes just bottom-line oriented. Do you work or have you had any outreach by, you know, for-profit corporations in the area that you're focused in on?
Surely, and that is really my desire now, to really move into that place and space and to move across and work across sectors. Mm-hmm. It seems so important because corporations are realizing that their consumers are asking those types of questions about equity inclusion and saying, what is it that you stand for beyond just the profit bottom line? And so being able to think in terms of multiple bottom lines. My concern, though, is that people continue to want to make the business argument for inclusion work and beyond the, you know what, this is the right thing to do. And as a bonus, it's good for your employees, your customers like it, and it will benefit your bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, so you speak the business language to get your message across. Okay, that's not bad. Tell me about Inclusionetics. I know you developed it. What is it, and how does it advance your cause?
Surely. One of the things that I found, and it just really comes from my background as a policy researcher, is that the language of inclusive intelligence was really never pursued. And I think that that is a critical gap as we want to advance the cause. So, for instance, when we talk about diversity, we're looking at numbers, and we just can't add difference and think that that's going to make our organizations better. As a matter of fact, without the appropriate understanding and skill sets, adding difference just makes things harder. And so anybody who's been in a relationship with any other human being in life knows that all you have to do to create conflict is add another person. And so the approach of just adding different types of people, that's really not going to do it for organizations. And so to talk about inclusion intelligence, how we get it, how we develop it, what that really, really means, so that then, as I said before, we then have the capacity within organizations and then within ourselves to really show up authentically. Because it's interesting how, you know, just being in a different environment or engaging difference, it actually creates new neural synapses in our brains. Or, according to one article, difference makes us smarter. And so if we want to have better solutions and better outcomes in our organizations, then we should have greater opportunities to prompt and look for innovation And that comes about, I believe, from difference and appreciating and celebrating it and even being able to see difference as a strategic advantage.
Interesting. Having been involved in the coaching profession myself since 2005, I've learned over the years that a lot of the John Q public doesn't really know what coaching is about. Most people tend to think we just tell them what to do. And studies show that's what people want. tell me what to do. Well, that's not what a coach does. And the reason I bring this up is because some of what you're talking about, I think, is more on also the advisory consulting side, where they may be asking you for help as to how to accomplish what they want to do because they don't know. So I guess my question is, how do you handle that?
Sure. And in the conversations, my firm is called Nicholas Harvey Consulting, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
So, I'm an executive coach. I'm also an organizational leadership development consultant. You know, I'm able to provide strategic advice as well. And so I think that's helpful also. But here's the other piece where we tell people what to do, but then what's next, right? And I think that we also have to be able to grow our clients so that they're able to not just know what to do now, but also how to make decisions for the future, how to go about and implement, how about to execute, how to do not just only strategic planning, but also strategic implementation, which is so important. And so that's what I'm prepared to offer as well.
Great. That's a good value. And so I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, that's a nice blend of the two, consulting and coaching. What do you think, Nicholas, are some of the hidden challenges for today? I mean, I think we know racism and what are some of the hidden challenges that maybe we're not so aware of yet and maybe businesses aren't aware of yet?
Sure. I think that at the top of the list, when we think about, first of all, leadership, that our understanding of leadership, and this is where coaches can really help, is we're not looking for that white hat leader to come in, or in my favorite cartoon, growing as a child was Mighty Mouse, who wants to talk about, here I come to save the day.
Yep.
But to be able to say, you know what, as a leader, I'm really a facilitator of our organizational processes to ultimately achieve our mission and our impact. And so really coaching for humility, I think, might be a great skill to have. Brené Brown's work in terms of talking about being vulnerable, right? Because the problems are just too big for us to be able to think that we can handle it all by ourselves. And also, that's just too much weight for a singular leader to handle. And so when we talk about leadership, I think that leaders need to expand their own leadership toolkits. And so it's not the sort of idea that, as they say, to somebody with a hammer, every problem becomes a nail. So to just have more skills in order to address the challenges of the day. And so what do we do to develop humility, empathy, courage, to say it's all right to say, I don't know? I mean, that's because in these environments that are, we use the term, VUCA, about volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. Well, you might not know right now, but you know what? How about bringing a good team around you in order to go ahead and solve the problems? I don't know anybody who sees or watches. I have children, and so whatever they will watch growing up, I will watch as well. But even in the superhero universe, DC has the Justice League, and Marvel has the Avengers, where you're bringing teams of people together, and they're different, and there will be conflict. But ultimately, you know, there's a goal to achieve. So, you know, these images and models are out there if only we'll go ahead and try to utilize and employ them.
I'm curious about, you have a tremendous background as a pastor for 20 years, and I'm curious to know what maybe the benefits of having that background, and maybe, you know, maybe what isn't a benefit of having that background when you're working with your clients?
Sure. I think that it's interesting that my clients sort of like that, because one aspect of ourselves that perhaps we don't readily bring to work is our spiritual side. And so back to the idea of inclusion, where we get to bring our best authentic and whole selves to work. You know, we are whole people. We are spirit. We are soul. We are body. And so being able to bring that, you know, to work and talk about how that informs our work. And so that's something that people appreciate, that I have a sensitivity to that. You know, working, you know, across faith groups and denominations, that's helpful as well. Because people are in touch, you know, many people are in touch with, you know, the divine one way or another. They describe themselves, you know, according to Pew Research, they describe themselves as spiritual. And so not being able to bring that to work, I think has been perhaps to our detriment. And especially in this season where people are facing the challenge, what I refer to as the challenge of equilibrium, where of mental health, you know, and stress and all that. Well, you know, spirituality has been shown to be able to assist people in that regard as well. And so, again, when I talk about, you know, inclusionetics, you know, we're bringing our whole selves, all of us, you know, to our work, to our engagement, to our communities, because that's what informs our operating and our functioning.
Mm-hmm. Again, the nice blend. I can see where, I won't say, yeah, no, I'm going to say spirituality, I guess. I can see where that might hamper in the sense that, you know, okay, we're going to have patience, we're going to wait, we're going to believe in the future and all that. And I would think that would be a bit too tame for you, because you seem to be an activist. Is there a conflict there?
I don't believe so. I was having a similar conversation, and so in terms of accomplishing goals and aims, you know, sometimes it's the idea of, you know, even for me in this work, it is a calling for me. But in terms of accomplishing our goals, my mantra is this: we pray like it all depends on God, but we work like it all depends on us.
Ah, love it.
Wow. So I'm thinking, what would your ideal client be? Someone that you would enjoy working with the most? Because we know there's millions of people out there that probably may be interested in coaching, and we don't all want to work with everybody. So who would your ideal client be, and what would their issue be typically?
Sure. And that's really been growing and expanding for me right now. Because usually I would find myself working with a nonprofit executive and their team. And so usually in the larger nonprofit space. But that's been, for me, really expanding into perhaps now some corporate social responsibility. But now with the work with inclusion and inclusionetics, I want to extend that to people who are struggling, you know, with regard to diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice. And to be of service to people who say, you know what, you know, Nicholas, I really just, you know, don't know what to do. You know, I'm afraid to say the wrong thing. You know, I've been in workshops and trainings before, and I don't want to be attacked. You know, I need help with that. Because I want my vision and values for my organization to be in alignment. And so that's really what's next for me.
That's fascinating, because I just had a friend of mine mentioning, I won't mention where he works, saying that nobody talks anymore because everyone's afraid they're going to say the wrong thing. And I know it's a generalization he was making, but just sort of what you said. Everyone's petrified. They'll say something they shouldn't say. They're Wall
right.
Street people.
Sure, sure. Because part of it, when we talk about showing up authentically, you know, the idea of creating not only sort of the psychological safe spaces, you know, we talk about psychological safety, but also about psychological bravery. You know, that people can be courageous to say, you know, this is who I am, and this is what I'm bringing to this given engagement. And so one of the things that we used to say here in the South, when as people might misspeak, is, well, you know, charge it to my head, but not to my heart. And so that one of the skills that perhaps we need to have for ourselves and for others is to be able to give a little more grace. We're on this path, and we're trying to figure this thing out. And we're going to make mistakes. And so, you know, I make mistakes. You know, so, you know, charge it to, you know, my head, you know, not to my heart. You know, I had an engagement with a young woman. So there was a Korean family. The husband, you know, Korean-American. The wife was a Korean immigrant. And so one of the things that we sort of bridge is hugging, right? And so being Korean American, the husband was a hugger, the wife was not, and I forgot. And so I see the husband, and I'm like, hey, how you doing? He hugs. I turn to the wife, and I grab her. I'm like, ah, no, she doesn't do that. So, you know, and I just, you know, and I just apologized. And she was gracious and kind about it, but yeah, we'll make missteps.
But I think that's part of the fun, sharing cultures and making the missteps and learning, as long as they're not, you know, highly offensive to people. I think that's part of. Where you're trying to change perspectives, I think that's a perspective that's needed also. Just to, you know, let's share and not assume that everybody knows something. Let's share what we know and bring it to the table. I know that we only have 2 minutes left, really. We met in a Zoom room talking about the democracy of coaching. What can we do on an individual basis rather than have a company call us in and say, train my people and lead my people? What can we do on an individual basis quickly, I guess, because we have like 90
sure,
seconds.
Sure, okay. The fun thing about coaches is this. You know, because we're coaches, somewhere or another, we just find ourselves coaching. You know, on the call today, we were on, Lori, earlier, my daughter was on the call. She's a graduate student right now here in Atlanta. And I remember she used to say to me, when she would come to me with challenges as a high schooler and the like, you know, Daddy, are you doing that coachy thing? And of course, my response is, well, is it working? So taking a coaching approach to different engagements, you know, the idea, you know, of creating awareness generally and using that experience with ourselves, you know, and being sensitive to others, right? You know, in this time, one of those things I make just very intentional about speaking. My children used to ask me, do you know everybody? It's like, no, but, you know, we acknowledge other people's humanity. And I usually speak and smile. Well, we're now behind masks. So, you know, you have to smile with the eyes more. But, you know, to tell people, you know, our essential workers and others, thank you, I appreciate you. You know, hope you're doing well, and to ask how people are doing, not as a courtesy, but get for real, and to pause. and hear their answer.
You know what? I can't think of a better way to end than to tell people to go out there and do that coachy thing. I love it. Nicholas Harvey, I love having you as a guest. And you can find him on LinkedIn. Look him up. And let's see, where else can they find you real quick? LinkedIn, right? Nicholas Harvey?
Nicholas.
Okay.
Yeah, Nicholas Harvey on LinkedIn and NicholasHarveyConsulting.com. Lori, Bernie, we thank you.
Thank you.
We thank you. Thank you so much. And we'll see you guys next month. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.